The Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
I'm afraid to tell you about this app, because this app holds the secret to your happiness. This is a very important Philadelphia app. I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you what it reveals right now, because, you know, I don't care about apps, but this app made me care. Right now,
an open house featuring Mark Levin's home.
Welcome. Please don't turn on the lights.
Oh dear, it looks as though your cat has peed on the floor.
The cat has obviously not studied the Constitution.
Look at this dinner table meal. Where's the meat?
The chef has no concept of the Constitution.
Great view, but the fence is too high. Any final thoughts, Mark?
Our carpenter has no respect for the Constitution.
Which cue did I give you exactly? The sentence was, this app is the most important app that I could share with you. And the app, why can't I hear myself? And then, why can't I hear myself? I might as well be doing this from my laundry room. Let me turn this up. Let me see if this is the issue. Test, test. Oh, my God, listen to that. It's a brand new show. But this app, it's the Mr. Softy app. And the Mr. Softy app will tell you exactly where the Mr. Softy truck is. Now, think about that. Now, because this is a local live show, I will tell you exactly where the Mr. Softy truck is right now. Right now, it's at North Smedley Street and 65th Avenue. There's a Mr. Softy truck at North Smedley Street and 65th Avenue in Philadelphia. Because why? We're live and local. Now, after I give the location of the next Mr. Softy truck on this beautiful, gorgeous night in Philadelphia, I will say to you guys, why are we able to do this? And you will say, because we're live and local. The three of you say it in unison. Did you hear what I was saying? You awake. All right, here we go. So, right now, there's also a Mr. Softy truck, according to the Mr. Softy app, at 9th, boy, this is weird. Oh, at North 5th Street and West Chew Avenue. So, it's at 55th Street and West Chew Avenue. And why can I give the location of the Mr. Softy truck in Philadelphia? Because
we are live and local.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
We're going to have to do that again because I have a feeling your mics weren't on. Why? Because it's science. Let's find one more Mr. Softy truck according to the Mr. Softy app, which is not paying for this exposure. And they never will. Just a moment. I'm looking. That's right. You can download an app to tell you exactly where the Mr. Softy truck is at any given time. Could there be a better app? When I saw this, I said, finally, the promise of computers is realized. The one thing I have wanted all my life was to know where is the Mr. Softy truck. Because is there anything worse than when you're 8 years old and you hear the truck in the distance and you run out with your money and you convince your mother to give you money? Finally, your mother's convinced to give you money and you run out with the money and he's gone. And Mr. Softy's gone. Or worse, it's the mean Mr. Softy driver. And you're 50 cents short. And he won't cover for you. That's the mean Mr. Softy driver. Or, here's a particular cruelty. Now, some of the Mr. Softy trucks will take debit and credit cards. But not all of them. Not all of them. If you run into the one, I got my mother's credit card, and you run up to the Mr. Softy truck, you go, I don't take that. It's the other driver that takes that. What could be crueler than that, than an ice cream guy who doesn't take your card? Problem solved with the Mr. Softy app. And you're thinking, is this like a television morning show where the companies pay to be on the show? No. Mr. Softy did not pay to be on the Walter Sterling Every Damn Night show has not paid for that. This is called organic content. It's organic content. It's an organic placement. I was so dazzled and impressed. Why? Because it takes almost nothing to impress me. In fact, if you want to impress me, all you have to do is bring food, and I'm impressed. That's all you got to do. I'm Walter Sterling at Good Evening, 855-839-1210. Always happy to talk to you. I'm now going to be on every night at this time. If you haven't heard me before, that's because you have a life. I've been on this radio station for 10 years. Did you hear what I said? I've been on this station for 10 years. At any given time, did any one of the many program directors whose butts I have covered over and over again ever say, Walter, why don't you fill in for Dom Giordano this week? Why don't you fill in for Gary Arnell and Dick Morris this week? Why don't you fill in for Rich Zioli, who has an insufferable four-hour show? Four freaking hours. That's like working an air hammer for 12 hours. Never have they said, gee, would you fill in? Once in desperation, years ago, the prior program director, Jared Hart, who now works in a computer chip factory in Arizona, said, I'm in trouble. Could you fill in for Giordano today? Calls me at 8 in the morning. I said, of course, no problem. I prepped. I studied what the governor said, because that's all they talk about during the day. What did the governor say? Because that's what everybody wants to know in their social studies class. Oh, what? This isn't a social studies class? It's supposed to be entertaining? But nevertheless, I did my job and I studied it. And I get this grunt from the program director at the end of it. That was good how you studied what the governor said. Okay, you're going to give me an extra hour? You're going to put me on 5 days? I got to talk to my wife. Goodbye. Now he's working in a computer factory in Arizona. He's actually making chips like the Chinese do with the suicide nets. That's what he's doing. It's Sterling Every Damn Night. When you get a new job, you get mail and notes from people congratulating you. And it's not important who congratulated you. It's not important who wrote you the note. What's important is who did not. From whom did you not hear? English major, from whom did you not hear? Why is that important? So you can build a list of healthy resentments. So you can resent people at close range. I work in resentments the way other people work in clay. I haven't heard from Mike Jerrick. Fox 29's Mike Jerrick, the mayor of Philadelphia, the real mayor of Philadelphia. I love Fox 29's morning show. I love Mike Jerrick on it. The reason I like it is, first of all, there are very few broadcasters older than I am, or older than Gary Arnell, or even older than Dom Giordano, Captain Chucky. I like him because he's always ticked off. No matter what happens, they're doing a cosmetologist, an astrologer, a brand new dating app. Mike's annoyed. Mike is always annoyed, and I'll tell you a secret about the Fox 29 morning show. You want to know a secret? Watch Mike Jerrick's eyes. When he's not looking at the camera, he's always looking to our left. What he's looking at is the floor manager, who is his age. Two 73-year-old guys communicating on big city TV. And he's always looking at his floor manager to see if the floor manager is doing okay with whatever Mike's saying. But I love Mike Jerrick because he's a real broadcaster and he's always annoyed. And then I thought, why is he so successful in Philadelphia? It's because everybody here is so annoyed. We're all so annoyed. My gosh. Sean, are those phone calls? You can talk into my ear.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my gosh. Do they seem happy or are they annoyed that Dana isn't here?
I believe they're very, very excited to hear from you, actually.
All right, let's talk to Sue at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Sue, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hey, Walter, I'm so psyched. I'm thrilled to death. I know you've been talking about it. And I just saw the post on Facebook and I thought, man, is that happening now? I turned on the radio and there you are. And you got Sean there. You know, I don't know how you could get better than that. You know, I missed you yesterday, but I understand you were at a graduation up in Syracuse, so I hope that went well.
My 21-year-old daughter, Dorothy, graduated from the Newhouse School at Syracuse University, which means she is more equipped to be a broadcaster than I am. And here's the good news, Sue. Here's the really good news. Would you like to know?
Sure.
The really good news is she does not want to be on the air. She wants to be a producer. She was born to be a producer. I've seen her. She's a gifted producer, and I'm not saying that as a father. Yes, I'm very proud of her. And then I get a call from the 18-year-old today, Sue, who's a freshman at SUNY Purchase, to inform me that she has flunked one of her courses.
Well, that's as it should be.
This is the yin and yang of parenthood. Sue, you're a great fan. You've always listened to the show. I'm grateful to you. Especially call with criticism. It's more entertaining on the air, okay?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you something, though. You know, I like Dan Gaffney, but when I turned on the radio to hear you last night, I was so disappointed it wasn't you. And although I like him, how do I want to say this? His wife's voice is not necessarily a radio voice. You know what I mean?
Now, I figured that the dynamic between the two of them, husband and wife arguing stuff, I figured that'd be entertaining. Did you find that entertaining?
Well, I find it entertaining when you have the clips of them during your regular show, but for that long of a period of time, it wore on me a little. I don't know. I'm just being honest here.
No, be honest. It's Philadelphia. That's all we know how to do.
Yeah, you know, it got to me after a while. I thought, oh, that's a little too much shrill voice for me. I think I'm going to go.
The reason people in other cities don't like Philadelphians is because we cannot help but be honest, especially if we're annoyed. Would you rather have Gary Arnell fill in for me?
No.
And why is that?
Well, should I really go into the detail?
I'll give you 15 seconds. Go.
Okay, one time when Gary Arnell was on a WPHT, the subject was sex harassment at the workplace, and he had people call in, and an older woman called in to relate a story of something that happened to her, and he asked her if she was dressed sexy or if she was trying to come on to her boss. He turned me off on that.
So. Well, Sue, obviously that's disgusting, and I'd never have that on my show. Thank you very much for calling at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Good evening. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night. Lesbians in space.
Is your name Nissan? Because I want you all to myself.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling Every Night. The shame of Philadelphia radio come true. Alex in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling Every Night.
Walter M. Sterling, first I want to say this is kind of like, I know that you've been wanting this a long time because I'm a big fan of yours on the weekend. But to actually be the second call on your very first weeknight show, because I was trying to be first. I guess you can't have everything. But I've become a very big fan of yours because you have a certain quality that makes you like a Joey Reynolds 2024 version. You're unpredictable. That makes you entertaining. You also are able to go with the flow. Sometimes there are technical gaps, but that's what makes it fun. It was like the old Milton Berle show. It was live. You took it as it was given to you.
How old are you?
72.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That makes you the youngest listener to this radio station.
Well, I will tell you that this is a great addition to this station because it's a perfect kind of show for the kind of time it is at night. And it's been missing for decades. I can't remember the last time this station had a show like this. You're filling a void, Walter M. Sterling, and we're out here and we're waiting for you. Because when I heard, I didn't even know you were coming on. I went to the internet because I didn't know who Dan Gaffney was. I had to find out on the internet, who's this Dan Gaffney? Finally, it says next to Dan, Walter M. Sterling will be starting on Monday, the 13th of May, 2024. So now that I am on the second call of your very first show, I guess I could say I'm honored. And maybe that makes me part some kind of a Hall of Famer. I don't know.
All right, Alex. You sound great. You're very kind. Thanks for clearing the check that made it possible for you to call in. And if you ever want to hear yourself now that you're in the self-acclaimed Hall of Fame, you can hear every show I've ever done at waltersterlingshow.com. waltersterlingshow.com. Thank you so much for calling. 855-839-1210. But I want to talk about Mother's Day. And I want to talk about the horror that we all experience at Mother's Day of, did I get it right? Did my kids get it right? Or in your case, your great-grandkids get it right? Did they get it right? And the answer is never. Never once have any of us from Philadelphia, New Jersey, maybe Delaware, ever get it right. Because Jersey moms, Philly moms, are different. And they're terrible at hiding disappointment. Believe it or not, like in Ohio or non-states like that, they hide it. They pretend, oh, it's so much. I really wanted to have that. Thank you so much. I have wanted this QVC gift card for years now. And now I can order the Capodimonte porcelain and the giant Dalmatian dog, China. It'll go perfectly next to my planters that are decorated with cats. Here, you give your mom something she doesn't want, and it'll go like this. Oh, I'll put it up in the attic with the other things. That's how it'll go in Philly and New Jersey. I'll put it up in the attic with the other things. Because what the rest of the world doesn't understand about our mothers, and why it's always been so bizarre to me, when I hear women saying, we want equal rights, we want equal pay, we want to be chairman of the board, we want to be in charge, is that I grew up here. And here, all the women are always in charge of everything. I have never been in a situation where it is not a matriarchy. All my elementary school teachers were women. At home, mom was in charge. If she was taking a nap, her mother was in charge. At no time was my father in charge of anything. Sit there and read the Star Ledger. Shush. Wait till dinner. Read the Trentonian until I'm done. Never the Inquirer, by the way. At no time in my house. At no time in my house was there ever an Inquirer. There was the picture newspaper. Yeah, he called it the picture paper. He'd bring home the picture paper. But the fact is, in our community, in our society, women have always been in charge. All of the mothers are Carmela Soprano here. And the toughest gangster is weak when faced with mom, when faced with wife. And because each mom here has a secret ally. Every one of them has a secret ally, and coming up in seconds, I will share with you my list of secret allies and see how you feel about it. Plus, it was Mother's Day, which is a giant day for the J.B. Bakery of New Jersey, and the owners, or I should say the owner and the person in charge of the J.B. Bakery, are here tonight. And they're going to tell us about the amazing gifts that they have brought us. And can't wait to hear it. They have brought another recipe. I can't believe the number of requests for the recipes they've given us in the past. You're going to get a brownie recipe to die for. This is Sterling Every Night. You have a rejoin?
All right, Midnight Misfits, this is an unbelievable offer. I can't believe they've done this. As you know, Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores. Why they're so stupid, I don't know. It's a great product. Sell great products. They've been part of cancel culture. So MyPillow wants to pass along savings directly to you. They're having a $25 extravaganza.
Sterling, every night, inspired by Captain Kangaroo.
You know, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Moose isn't here right now.
You had an issue with the what? What was the issue?
I had an issue trying to get the file actually set up because it wasn't no Sterling rejoin right away.
Okay. 888-855-839-1210. Sterling every damn night. Now, let me share with you the fact that I am not alone. I am with Stephen the Baker, Selena the Ballerina, and the legendary Dick Morris partner, Gary Arnell. Gary Arnell, an alleged talk show host in Philadelphia.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to Gary first. You know how it is when they're doing on a TV screen on a news channel and they have four guests lined up and an anchor and they'll introduce each guest and then the anchor will say, first I'm going to go to Gary.
Yeah, absolutely.
First I'm going to go to Gary.
Very meaningful.
Very meaningful.
Right.
Now, Gary, we had a guest, a Midnight Misfit, on moments ago.
Yeah.
Sue. Who claimed that she could not listen to you if you filled in for Walter Sterling,
mm-hmm.
because you said something that profoundly offended her. Now, being a native of Philadelphia, I am shocked that it was possible to offend Sue, because there's so many other worthy things to be offended by just by going outside. Just by going outside, you could be offended by so many things. Do you want to defend yourself? Why don't you recap what Sue accused you of and then explain what you did on my show?
All right. So we were talking about the Me Too movement, and somebody in an office somewhere was heading to HR to file a complaint about sexual harassment. And all I did was ask Sue, I'm just wondering, how is the woman dressed? Now, I know a lot of people are going to despise this question, right? Like, you're blaming the victim.
Hold on. You always tell stories wrong.
Yeah.
Tell your side of the story.
My side of the story is I just said to her, how was the woman dressed when she claimed that she was being sexually harassed? Now, sexual harassment is never a good thing to do. And she... But she took it as though I was blaming if there was a victim in this place, that I was blaming the victim and intimating that she had dressed in a provocative way and that she had solicited this type of engagement with the so-called quote-unquote perp in the office. And I didn't do that. All I said, hey, I'm just wondering, you know, what she was wearing that day. Now, a lot of people are going to miss...
Don't do the a lot of people crap. Just tell your side of the story.
That's my side of the story. I was just curious about what the woman was wearing the day that she said that this took place. That was it. I didn't get into it. It was her fault. I didn't play the victim thing.
Well, I asked, isn't that the fault of the voters?
I asked you if it was up. Now I have to do it again.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Go ahead, Gary.
And so that was it. So she was very upset. I think I actually remember her on the air with me that day, and we went the go-between. And what really brought that phone call to a conclusion, Walter, was at the end of the call, I said to her, what are you wearing? And I think that she interpreted that in the wrong way. I was just trying to be a little entertaining with her. Yeah.
My name is Mr. Hack.
There was nothing wrong with you asking her what she was wearing.
No, I just said to her,
because she was on the phone.
That's correct.
She was not your employee.
No. And I just said to her, what are you wearing during this phone call, during this engagement with
Gary? Here's what always puzzles me.
So that was it. It was a big blow up.
This is what confuses me. And I am the father of three young girls.
Yeah.
But this is what confuses me. I have hired more women for high level jobs than anybody you know.
Right.
Before I did this, I wore a Brooks Brothers suit. I wore wingtip shoes. I was a revered media consultant in magazine, newspaper, television, radio. I was like the guy. And I can tell you, when I would staff a TV or radio station, every time the highest paid people on those lists happened to be women.
Mm-hmm.
I was proud of that.
Yeah.
I was glad about that. Do not say to me, you want to be chairman of the board, if I can't say to you, hey, you look great today. You can't handle, hey, you look great today, but you want to be chairman of the board. Wait till you have your first investor call. Wait till you have your first investor call. Wait till you hear what they ask you.
You got to hear this, Walter. I asked a woman, I was visiting an office a couple of weeks ago, and I said to her, wow, that's really a nice blouse. But I think I made the mistake because I stroked it a little bit. You know, like
no,
I went,
you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you should be in jail. Why aren't you in jail?
I stroked the blouse. Okay, let's make sure we're clear here. So I go over to the blouse, and I said, that's really a nice blouse. And she said to me something to the effect of, that wasn't necessary. It was just something that I found very offensive. And you're right, Walter. You can't, even in the most innocent way, communicate any kind of compliment on the opposite sex, or as the case may be, the same sex, whatever it is, in today's world. You can't tell me, I got a nice blouse. Yeah, your blouse looks really good. Can't do it anymore. It really is.
Well, now, Selena.
Yeah.
Who works at J.B. Bakery and is a student at an impressive college in New Jersey. You heard what Gary just said.
I already got the look.
No, I'm done talking to you, Gary.
Go ahead.
Stop talking.
Yes, sir.
This is why Dick Morris didn't like you.
Oh, man. Okay.
Selena, you heard this diatribe from Gary. How do you feel about the situation he described? How do you feel? Get close to the mic.
So I think everything was going pretty well, but as soon as he said he stroked the blouse, that's where I think he might have messed up. Now, if it happened to me, if I was the woman, right, I might be okay. It depends on how it's done and how it's said. It really depends on the scenario. But I think some people might have a problem with that. So it might depend. But I think that's where he went wrong in that particular case. It wasn't what he said. It wasn't complimenting the blouse. It was when he reached to touch it. That probably went wrong.
All right, let's take this in layers. And by the way, why does Gary's mic sound so much better than mine? Why does mine sound like I have a phasing problem on my mic? Or perhaps it's just, it's time to go to an ear doctor. It's hard to say. All right, now, Selena, let's layer this. If a customer comes into the store and you're working, and looks at you, a man looks at you and says, hey, you look great today. Is that okay?
Yes, I think that's fine.
If a coworker says to you, hey, you look great today.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
If your boss says to you, hey, you look great today.
Well, I like that especially. The boss is Steve.
Now, Steve happens to be your significant friend. Is that right?
It is true, yes.
So Steve's a significant friend. Before he became a significant friend, he was just your boss, right?
Yes.
And if he had said to you, hey, you look great today, would that have been a problem?
Not for me, no.
The stumper for men is we don't understand why it's not okay to say, hey, you look great today, because we are trained in wacky HR films and presentations, not films, presentations that we cannot say, hey, you look great tonight to a woman. And I'm like, what? Because I have three daughters, I happen to know how much it takes for them to look great today versus a guy. A guy puts on a sweater and he's home. If he shaves, that's a formal night. He's going to a formal. But I know what it takes for a young woman to do everything and look great. And therefore, when I say, hey, you look great today, it is out of respect and admiration for what they had to go through. It's not because I'm a lech. But the rule is we're not supposed to say, hey, you look great today to anybody. How do you feel about that, Selena?
Right. So I definitely, I don't really understand it either. I always appreciate when people tell me that I look nice. There's definitely a line where it gets to be strange, but that's usually accompanied by something else that isn't just, hey, you look great today. They usually keep going with it, and then it gets weird. And I feel like it's on purpose, but I don't know. I don't typically have too many issues. Like, I don't think I've ever had a problem when someone said I look nice. I always appreciate it because it does take time to get ready.
Yes, there is a line, and the line is when they start stroking your blouse, this is Sterling every night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Frank Zappa.
Are there any rock lyrics, Mr. Zappa, that you have heard in the past couple of years that you wouldn't want your children listening to?
We are the world.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
It's tough all over. The economy's terrible. People need side hustles for side hustles. And some erstwhile cocaine dealers decide, you know what? Let's go into Walmart and do some shoplifting. You see, they were in the parking lot attempting to deal cocaine. Apparently, lots of people show up to the Walmart parking lot. Second story is seemingly in a month where there's coke dealers in the parking lot. And this was in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Yes. Hello, I go to Dartmouth. I would like some nose candy for my fraternity party. I love me the nose candy, and me and my frat boys love it. So two fine people who have only been accused. Yeah, they've been charged, but they could very well be totally innocent. One should know better. He's 54 years old. His name is Lance Alford. And apparently his business associate, maybe even a romantic interest. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Ashley Vertentes of New Bedford, Massachusetts. Yep, they just got bored, not selling the cokes. They go in, let's do some shoplifting. And they go in, they do the shoplifting, they get picked up, and they are found with, a lot of cocaine and some paraphernalia to use that cocaine. Several felonies. Not good. Be careful when you go to Walmart. There could be a coke dealer anywhere. You know, maybe even in, the potato chip aisle. You know, just look, you have a nose candy. No, don't do that. Be bad. Toot, got toot. No, don't say that. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
Now, an open house featuring Mark Levin's home.
Welcome. Please don't turn on the lights.
Oh dear, it looks as though your cat has peed on the floor.
The cat has obviously not studied the Constitution.
Look at this dinner table meal. Where's the meat?
The chef has no concept of the Constitution.
Great view, but the fence is too high. Any final thoughts, Mark?
Our carpenter has no respect for the Constitution.
Welcome to Sterling Every Night, Jim. Jim is the voice of Mark Levin, and he does it brilliantly. However, Jim, there was another line on that bit that would have paid it off. It ended like mid-bit. You didn't perform the payoff line.
I didn't perform the payoff line. Well, what the hell was the payoff line to start out with?
The payoff line.
Explain something to you right now. Don't. Let me explain something to you right now. I am the lead-in for your show. That's right, I said it.
You are the lead-in that takes my audience and throws them over the edge of the cliff.
That's right.
And
that's
I have
right.
to save
what?
Them. I have to save them for this radio station, so there's a prayer that this station will get to the next Nielsen.
Well, it's going to get there, because you know why? You got people like me. You got people like Walter Sterling right now. I've been listening to the show, Walter. Sounds really good, by the way. Congratulations on getting 5 nights a week.
Well, it's worse than that, Mark. It's 6.
Well, guess what? We all got to do what we got to do right now in this crazy world of ours. You get 6 nights a week. I got to do 6 nights a week, too.
Yeah, and you're on TV, and the lighting doesn't help.
No, the lighting doesn't help. But you know what the problem is? It doesn't matter, because by the time I start screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs, my veins are so red. Doesn't matter what the lighting does.
Mark, these are great thoughts and observations. Thank you very, very much for blessing Sterling Every Night. Thank you, sir. All right, 888. No, it isn't. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. We're talking about the very hot issue in women's issues in the workplace, which is why men cannot look at a woman and say, hey, you look great today. Not sexual, not lascivious, an observation of art and a fact. And if you live with women, you know how hard it is and how long it takes and how expensive it is to look great today. And we just asked Selena, who works at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, a great bakery that does not pay for this time. It's organic. It's organic media, organic, authentic media. They make phenomenal baked goods, spectacular baked goods in Burlington, New Jersey. Tonight, they brought the very secret Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookies and the best brownies I've had in way too long. And an assortment of baked goods that I haven't even dared to explore with my type 2. And I said to Selena, do you mind it when customers say, hey, you look great today? And then Steve, who owns the bakery and is the ostensible supervisor, but definitely the baker. Stephen, what advice do you give Selena when a customer says, hey, you look great today?
Well, Walter, I would think that customers do come in, they do say stuff like that, and I always want Selena to be prepared and segue into the product, talk about the store, and I'd like to tell her, say, hey, talk about the product, say thank you, thanks for making a comment. She could just say thanks and just check out the fudge brownies, check out the chocolate chip cookies, talk about the product. That's the best way to move away from conversations like that.
She can use this as a runway to a sale based on guilt.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's the funny part about it. I mean, there's so much to talk about in the store. And of course, I mean, some of the customers just come into the bakery just because they want to see who's working at the counter. They really do.
What was the biggest seller this Mother's Day at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey? You'd think this is one of those morning shows where the retailer is paying for the airtime, but it's not. We are bought with baked goods. They were able to buy time on a 50,000-watt clear channel station, one of only 28 in America. The last place the last program director worked, the last program director, Jared, who's now in a chips manufacturing company because he refused to put my show on his station in Albuquerque, but it was a 50,000-watt station that he was at, and yet he didn't put my show on it, and now he's working at a chip factory. He refused. Where was I going with this, Stephen? Do you remember?
The Mother's Day weekend.
Yes, what was the best seller on Mother's Day weekend?
So we had a lot of customers that came in because basically Mother's Day is a fun day, you know, weekend to check out the bakery. We're making a lot of different products. Plus, there's the customers that want to take their moms to the bakery and pick something out for them. And they also want to take stuff to their moms, too.
Right, right. I know why they come in. What was the biggest seller?
The biggest seller, I would say, would be Mother's Day cakes. Just
custom Mother's Day cakes.
Nicely decorated custom Mother's Day cakes.
What would be the most popular colors for Mother's Day? Because I would choose wrong.
Did a lot of yellow and purple. We had something with gold butterflies on it that was really eye-catching. So that was special for Mother's Day.
Do you do custom wedding cakes?
Custom wedding cakes for sure.
All right, so June's coming up. You're going to have a huge month, right?
I would say so. We're pretty particular. We do very special custom
wedding cakes. So if you make a 5-foot-high wedding cake, 4 or 5 layers, ballpark, what do these cost?
We charge by the layer, by the tier.
Really?
Something 5-tier, that would be a lot of fun to make. Probably $1,500 plus delivery, which is not easy.
Yeah. On the baking show that was on Lifetime or whatever it was, TLC, the baking show that was on TLC, the Jersey City Bakery, the issue always seemed to be delivering the cake. They were always stunned that it was bigger than the delivery truck. It never occurred to them to measure the cake before they were done with it. But if they had measured, there'd be no drama on the TV show. But what are those cakes that were motorized and lit up? What do you figure the Carlos's Bakery would get for those cakes? What do you guess?
Tell you the truth, people do come from Carlos and say, hey, they overpriced me. Can you make this cake? And I do for fractional, half of the price maybe.
But you got to give me a number.
Probably. I did one time for Carlos. It was about $1,600, and it was a wedding cake, and they were quoted, I think, about $3,200.
Yeah, that's what.
But
I
they
would've...
got to sit down with Carlos and go over the whole design.
Yeah, but how much time do you want to spend with Carlos, really? All right, 855-839-1210. It's Sterling every night. Welcome. We're talking to Stephen the Baker from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and Selena Ballerina, who works at JB Bakery and makes it worthwhile to go into the bakery, he said, like a pig. And Gary Arnell, Dick Morris's broadcast partner. What an episode in American broadcasting
there was. There's a book to come, Walter.
You and Dick Morris. I think it'll be a pamphlet, actually, Gary. Maybe a pamphlet.
It could be.
I have a lot more show to do because I signed up for this every night, 3 hours every night, 9 to midnight on 1210 WPHT, the pride of Philadelphia. Frank Rizzo's ghost walks the halls and says, "You're a crumb creep." I'll be using many drops from Rizzo to give me authenticity. Okay. Do I have 10 seconds now? Now I have 10 seconds. It's good when the host has to ask for the cue, don't you think? All right. Good evening. This is Sterling every night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes. Live Sterling every damn night.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Good night, my dear. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Hello. My name is Mr. Hat.
Hey, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. Bad news. Every night, I'm going to be here sharing this special time with you from 9 p.m. to midnight. They used to have very serious shows on at this time. People who did what? What? They yelled at the Democrats. My gosh, they yelled at the Democrats. Here's the surprise. They yelled at the Democrats. What the hell? How did this happen? When the announcement went out in the radio trades, I started getting emails and notes from people in radio. And the notes said, "Congratulations, it's great because you will be able to show the industry. You will be able to show other talk shows and other talk stations that there are other things to talk about." Now, who am I getting these notes from? Listeners? No. I'm getting the notes from program directors, general managers, owners of radio stations, researchers. That's who I was getting the notes from. You'll be able to get things changed in the industry because everybody in talk radio in America is exhausted, tired of yelling at the Democrats. And there's a good reason for that. It gets no ratings. Every month that a radio station yells at the Democrats, their ratings go down. And worse, from their perspective, the listener gets older. But gosh darn it, we're going to keep doing it. No matter what, we're going to keep yelling at the Democrats and we're going to keep getting older listeners. Darn it. And I'm like, why are you sending me these emails? Why are these people in my business sending me emails telling me it's great that I've done this? I showed them that you didn't have to do this 30 years ago when I put on New Jersey 101.5, which doesn't yell at the Democrats. I did it when I put on a station in Orlando called Real Radio. Number one in 18 months. It was number one in Orlando in 18 months. It had been a jazz station, which are the embarrassment to American radio. Jazz. Can you imagine doing that? You imagine wasting a frequency playing jazz. It's almost as bad as NPR. And I did it again in Los Angeles at a radio station. Did talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not once did we yell at a Democrat. And what happened there? It became the number one local biller in the city of Los Angeles, which is a real city. It's not like Greenville. It's a real city. Well, you're number one in Los Angeles in local billing. And I figured I will be copied. My gosh, Hundreds of owners will demand to know how I did it and pay me huge consulting fees so I can buy more Brooks Brothers suits and perfect my PowerPoint. Because if you're a consultant, I don't care what it is. If you're a consultant in how to make French fries, you have to be a master of PowerPoint. And I will tell you, Steve the baker, the secret to being a master of PowerPoint, always use odd numbers and a decimal point. It's always 13.1%. Who's going to argue with 13.1%? Nobody. If you write 20%, what does that? You're making that up? No, I made up 13.1%. That's what you make up. At no time did my phone ring off the hook and say, hey, what you did in Los Angeles or Orlando or New Jersey, we want to do that too. We want to do that too. I don't know why that didn't happen. I think maybe it's because in order to do stations like that, you have to bake from scratch. That's very scary. Those were all baked from scratch. None of the stations I ever programmed as a consultant sounded the same. They all sounded completely different. I never photocopied a format clock. I never photocopied a contest. I never photocopied anything. I struggled and sweated and gave my clients their money's worth by giving them an original, compelling, remarkable, local radio station. And when David Yadgaroff, my new favorite general manager, market president, said, well, yeah, it's a good idea. Why don't we put you on from 9 to midnight on PHT? I'm like, brilliant. Why don't we do that? And it's a privilege to work for David Yadgaroff. And I'm not saying that to be up his butt. I'm saying it because it's true and rare. Also, I've never seen anybody dressed like that. I mean, those must be $700 shirts, David. I mean, things must be going really well, hey, good here at the boutique radio station. Those have got to be $700 shirts. I know they're $800 shoes. I can't even imagine what the ties go
for. Can I just tell you?
No, you can't. I'm talking.
Go ahead.
And it's my, we're at dinner
ahead.
And you're a child.
Go ahead.
I'm at dinner and then we'll talk to Gary Arnell.
I am a child, yes.
And we'll talk to Gary. Where's Selena?
She's back.
Oh, she there? She's hiding. All right, so it's great to share this very special dinner table at the institution with Gary Arnell, who's Dick Morris's partner.
Oh, boy.
And Stephen the Baker from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, who is not only a great baker and has brought samples for free airtime, but he's a brilliant marketer. He rattled off some of the marketing moves he made to make this bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, successful. Really smart. And Selena, who works at the bakery and is, best I can tell, in charge of the bakery at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, they've brought us great baked goods to celebrate our brand new radio show that'll be on every night on 1210 WPHT. We're having a good time. Now, Gary, what did you want to say to annoy me?
I wanted to send a message to David, who put you on from 9.
Oh, David Yadgaroff,
yeah.
Market president.
Yes.
Who's very close with
right.
David Field.
And I know he's a dapper dresser and
he's
all that stuff.
He's a very dapper dresser.
And if he would offer me midnight to 3, I might go up and just gingerly just touch his shirt and say, David, that's a beautiful shirt.
Yeah.
So I think he should take that into account. So.
Well, that would make a lot of sense. You know, because I think we've now covered every UFO landing there was.
Absolutely.
You know, I think Mr. Norrie, who does a great show, but I think all possibilities have been explored. I wonder if he did the show about that there was no shooting in Dealey Plaza that day. I wonder if he's gotten to that, because I think maybe I preempted him by doing a whole hour proving that there was no shooting in Dealey Plaza that day. Now, Steve the Baker, many great Midnight Misfits are business entrepreneurs. They have startup businesses. They started businesses during the pandemic. And so much of starting a business, so much of startups is marketing, of getting the word out, which is really hard to do. Some tips, Stephen the Baker, some ideas that may be useful to Midnight Misfits.
I say one great idea was being up all night, take a picture of donuts and my beautiful assistant here, and send it in to you, Walter. That was probably the best thing I could do.
Well, you're very nice. So share with us a little bit about using social media to launch a business or to expand a business. Tell me some of the techniques and ideas that you've got.
Social media has really, really played a big part. It's amazing. I could bring out anything out of the oven, take a picture of it, like right out of the oven or something creative, and put it on Facebook or Instagram and even Twitter. And they'll come right in. It's like they jump out of their cars, walk right off the street, come in and say, wow, I just saw this. I want to grab it. Let me try it. I saw it on Facebook. Where is it? They'll show me their phone. They'll show me a picture of it. Yeah, we have it right over here. And they get to try something that just came out of the oven. So,
of all the photos of baked goods you've posted, what's done the best? What have you sold? What have you moved the most of because of social media?
Well, one of the number one things that sold really well, that got the most likes, the most comments, during lockdown, I did a donut with Dr. Fauci's face on it because everybody was talking about what to do. And that was able to get me and get my crew and get all my bakers to make something, because we weren't making cakes. We weren't making any kind of special occasion things. So we started making donuts. We started making a lot of donuts, and it was amazing. People were coming in. They wanted to get out of their houses. They wanted to do something. They wanted to check out the bakery. A lot of new customers, a lot of new faces, and they got to try a really good donut. It was a delicious donut that had a special butterscotch filling in it, and people got to try something different. And the social media, I didn't really know what to expect of it, but on Facebook, it just took off. Because it was something that tied in with something that was going on in other people's lives as well. So when you have something that's a product that you could tie in with something else going on in people's homes and their lives, like anything to do with Mother's Day, everybody's going to celebrate Mother's Day, a product that moms might like, that's how you get social media to work for you.
Go to where the crowd already is.
Go to where the crowd already is, exactly.
855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That is my phone number. Good evening. It's 17 past the hour. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Oh, my gosh. It's Sterling every night. Everybody else was busy. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey is a great success story. When you took over JB Bakery about 20 years ago, Stephen, what was the condition of the bakery? To do what you've done with the bakery, I assume most of it was already in place. It must have been turnkey.
It was a lot to deal with. The bakery actually had a really good reputation for a long time, and it transitioned to a downtime because of the family dynamic, and things fell apart. But the bakers, there was actually some really good bakers that were still there. They didn't keep up with the display. They didn't keep up with the equipment. So what I did was I took care of the bakers. I made sure that the bakers are well taken care of. They work really hard. I stuck with the original products, like the cheese Danish and the cheesecakes and the donuts. The donuts, you know, especially because that was like well known for donuts. So the bakers, they were there. They were able to work hard, and I slowly, you know, started to get the customers back. Just worked with the customers, talked to them, find out what they like. I always think that customers will always tell a business owner, the staff, what they want. They will build the business. That's what I think is important.
Now, Selena, you're in college. What year are you in college?
I just finished my junior year.
And you're going to be a senior. What are your plans after you're a senior?
So I'm not sure if I'll take a gap year or go straight into it yet, but probably law school at some point.
What have you learned that shocked you about retail, of the retail economy, the retail business? What are some of the things you never expected to know and has been really a surprise to you about retail?
Just what the customer wants and the kinds of things that people are interested in. Like Steve kind of touched on, that world events tie into baked goods. I mean, you wouldn't think that the bakery items would have anything to do with like world events or COVID or anything like that. But somehow we can tie that in. So even politics, I'm a political science major, so it's kind of amazing how politics is involved in so many things. And in retail specifically, if people's interests are in a specific political event, we can transition and use that in the bakery to market products. So it's very interesting that that goes together.
What do you do with a customer who's not happy?
Usually, if a customer's unhappy, I think I would say that I'm pretty good at resolving the issue most of the time. Usually just kind of figure out what the issue is. Sometimes it's not as, you know, a lot of times they're very upset about it, but usually it's an easy fix. Something's wrong with the cake. Something's wrong with what they bought. We can usually just replace it or fix the issue. If they're really mad, sometimes I have to go get Steve because, you know, once they're so angry, it's hard to talk them down from that. But usually we can solve the issue. Or just offer them something else, and that usually fixes it.
Like an ice cream shop, what the heck could they be really angry about you at a bakery?
So that's what I always say. I mean, it's full of sugar. It should be the happiest place on earth. Everyone should be happy.
Steve, how many bakers you got working for you?
I've got solid bakers.
Where do you recruit a baker from? Where do bakers come from?
It's not an easy task. Sometimes the best bakers are the ones that just show up one day. They just show up. Sometimes at night they'll be like, hey, you looking to hire anybody? Do you need help? And that's the best way, really, because they already have an interest in the shop. They already have an interest in the product, and they might have something special to add, which is great.
Gary Arnell, because you're only on the air 1 hour a week on 1210 WPHT Saturdays at 10 after you were married to Dick Morris. Now that you have this extra time, would you look at the bakery as a career opportunity?
I would highly consider it at this particular point, and I'll be talking to Steve and try to figure out if there's a part-time position. And I'm very good at powdering. I want you just to know that I'm very good at powdering and dusting the donuts.
So is there a high demand for skilled powderers?
Well, he likes hands-on things, you know. It's a hands-on job, so he's good with his hands, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I think that.
And plus, his wife likes the jelly donuts already, so she'd be happy for him to take this part-time job.
How many jelly donuts did your wife Mona borrow?
She, you know, I just went in there. She's in the conference room, and we were strategizing. She was strategizing about how we're going to be able to not look like we're, you know, pigging out over this thing. So we're doing a strategy now where I'm going to take one of the boxes. I just want to let you know now, all right? We're going to put a couple of cookies, donut or two in one of the boxes, and then we're going to walk out with that just because you care about my daughters and, you know, I want to bring them some stuff home. Yeah, it is a strategy.
It's like the bakery sampler box.
It is a sampler box, yes.
One of the great things about having Steven and Selena and Gary Arnell.
Yes.
Sharing this time with me is that I have to do almost no work. They're chatting. They're articulate. I'm a little nervous about Stephen being on the show because his voice is much better than mine. And that's always a threat. I am grateful to you for showing up tonight, Selena. I am grateful to you, Stephen. These are terrific gifts. Tell me about the brownie recipe.
The brownie recipe is pretty amazing. I wanted to make it with Selena. We worked together on it because of her finishing up the semester with high honors, and it was great, just like a little celebration treat. She loves chocolate. She loves brownies. She loves to bake brownies. So it was a lot of fun. Simple ingredients, butter, melt the butter, add some sugar, add some eggs, simple eggs. And then also you could do a little bit of vanilla, maybe some coffee flavor. If you're feeling up to it, you got some bourbon close by, you could add some bourbon to it, a little bit of flour, and it comes together real nicely. Just enough where you're not baking too much. It'll serve about maybe 12 servings.
All right. Bacon. You can get the recipe, Stephen's secret brownie recipe for Midnight Misfits. Send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. They will never give me an Odyssey email address. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Tell me you want the recipe for Stephen's secret brownie recipe, and we'd be honored to send it to you. Well, this is the first night of Sterling Every Night, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a great time. You and I are going to talk more about Mother's Day and about the horror of the June wedding in seconds. This is Sterling Every Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Sterling Every Night.
What can I say? I'm into damaged women. I'm kidding. I like you because you're hot. What can I say? I'm into damaged women. I'm kidding. I like you because you're hot. What can I say? I'm into damaged women. I'm kidding. I like you because you're hot.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Oh, I feel so much better. Listen to this. Celebrity chef Madison Cowan has relied on soft eviction laws to avoid more than $145,000 in rent payments on his Brooklyn, New York apartment the past 4.5 years. He hasn't paid rent for 53 months. He's on the TV show Chopped and Iron Chef. He owes 53 months in back rent on a one-bedroom Borum Hill pad. He and his family have his family's in a one-bedroom pad. They've occupied it since October 2019, according to their angry landlord. Cowan hasn't paid a cent of his rent since January 2020. You haven't even done that. You've been more up to date.
I've been a little more up to date than that.
Yeah. The thing about New York City rent laws, as opposed to the rent laws anywhere else in the world, all the New York City rent laws are written on behalf of the tenant. The tenant is always right, no matter what. In the rest of the world, well, first of all, in the rest of the world, you know, here, a few other cities, but most of the world does not have tenant-landlord law practices. It just doesn't exist. It's not an issue in the rest of the world, but it's a freaking sport here to not be evicted. All right. What did I want to talk about that was so important? We went over the Mr. Softy app, which I really think is a great gift. I have guest goals. One of my guest goals that I will get on, I swear to you, is an actress named Jennifer Runyon. Do you know who Jennifer Runyon is?
I do not know.
I'm surprised because you usually go for women who are completely inappropriate for you. Sean, we have a cut in there of two different songs, and one of them is number one. Could you play the number one version that we need to hear? We'll get to number two later. Play it at any time. I played that is because you're going to now hear that in your head for the next several hours. It's going to make you crazy. But it starred, yes, it starred Scott Baio. But it also starred Scott Baio's love interest, an actress named Jennifer Runyon. And radio geeks, major radio geeks, will appreciate that Jennifer Runyon is Jim Runyon's daughter. And Jim Runyon was a major Chicago Los Angeles disc jockey who invented Chicken Man. Big disc jockey. Okay, but that's not important. Jennifer Runyon is very important. Why? Where is the Philadelphia connection? Greg Stocker right now is sitting there going, why am I still awake? And what is the Philadelphia connection? I will tell you. There have been many great movies about our city. such as, oh, Philadelphia, which I really didn't like because I thought it should have been played by gay guys and not by Tom Hanks. I mean, that was ridiculous. And Rocky 1 through 14, Rocky 1 through 14, great movies about Philadelphia. In my opinion, the most prescient, SAT word, the most prescient movie about Philadelphia was called The In Crowd, a poorly named movie. But it was called The In Crowd. The In Crowd was about the television dance show in Philadelphia that took over the slot when Dick Clark went to L.A. When Dick Clark went from Philadelphia to L.A., the culture of Philadelphia not only changed, it never recovered. It never recovered. It set this city into a resentment for centuries. The dance show that took over in that time period is what the movie The In Crowd is about. It's about the kids who danced on that show, about the local Philly dance show that replaced Dick Clark after Dick left. And it captured the gestalt and the times perfectly and also had important cultural significance. For example, it explained to us the reason why it seemed only Catholic school kids were on those dance shows. Do you know why, Gary Arnell?
I'm thinking about it. I don't think it had to do anything with their wardrobes. But no, why would they? Why was that the case?
Because they got out early. The nuns would let them out early to
so
be, on,
could
the
be
dance.
On the dance show.
Yes.
Beautiful.
The schools would get out earlier and the nuns would let them out earlier.
Wow.
Whereas the public schools let out later.
Mm.
Now, I can't get more Philly than that.
No.
Hey, Stalker, I can't get more Philadelphia than explaining why the dance shows were populated by Catholic school kids.
Stalker just texted me. He said, you made the connection.
Thank God.
You just did.
Thank God. Now he can buy me dinner.
Right.
So, Jennifer Runyon was the romantic lead in the movie The In Crowd.
Mm-hmm.
She played the hot girl on the dance show on The In Crowd, who the boy was played by Donovan Leach's son. So Donovan Leach and Donovan the singer, his son was Donovan Leach. He was the star of that movie. I want her to come on to answer two key things. I want to know if she had any understanding of the importance of this movie that only I saw. Not the importance, just the movie. Nobody saw the movie except me. But also, these allegations against Scott Baio being lecherous with the female stars of Charles in Charge. I want to know how she felt about that, because she's never made any of those accusations, but that's largely because she was much older than the other girls on the show. The girls on the show were 14, 15, 16, and now they're coming out with the mandatory ugly things to say about their working on a network show on CBS, making $25,000 to $35,000 an episode. And, oh, my gosh, Scott Baio hit on me. Oh, my God. Yes, it was horrible. Did you quit? No. But I'd like to hear Jennifer Runyon's take on this, and then I want to flatter her by telling her how great her father was. Good evening. Are you having fun? Is this the kind of radio show you want right now? I believe this is what the research showed. The research showed that what you want to hear is no more screaming about the Democrats. The Democrats are covered. I am Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days and they gave her 100 tampons?
Oh, my gosh. It's Sterling Every Night. We're joined in the studio now by, I love it when they say, they have this new phrase, they go, in studio, and in studio. Yeah. Like, you lost all your articles of speech in the studio? What's this in studio? It doesn't make you cool. You're on a cable news channel. You can't be cool. It's not possible. Gary Arnell is my comfort animal. On my first show, he came in as my comfort animal because on my very first show on WPHT, which was 10 years ago, Gary explained to me that the secret to happiness in the studio was to know how to operate the air conditioner thermostat. And he showed me that. Did Dom Giordano do that? No. Did Jared Hart, the alleged program director, do that? No. Did Rich Zeoli do that? No. And who was that clown that he used to have on in the morning? Do you remember who that was? I don't know.
You know,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because they're on a much smaller station now. Gary Arnell, so has been a friend of mine for 10 years and often guest stars when I'm ill on Sundays. We do a show on Sunday called Sterling on Sunday, but this is Sterling every damn night. And Gary is sharing this time with me, and I'm grateful. But Gary had an illustrious career on giant radio stations throughout the country, including this one. But most importantly, used to do Afternoon Drive on WPHT with Dick Morris.
Mm.
Andy, what was his name?
Andy Blum.
Andy Blum had this genius idea. He was the program director, sort of in charge, really in charge, when Jared Hart thought he was in charge. But it was really Andy Blum. And Andy decided that Gary Arnell needed to have this partner, Dick Morris, a political operative. As best I can tell, a political turncoat who had been supportive of Clinton and then wasn't supportive of Clinton and then had a lot of pizza.
You've heard the expression, follow the money.
Right.
And I remember one day, Walter, I was in actually doing a show from Florida for about a month, taking care of some stuff down there with my daughter. And Dick was here in Philadelphia. And I was doing it from the iHeart studios down in Florida. And Dick tells me during a break, this is taking you behind the curtain a little bit. He tells me during the break, I had disagreed with him on something, either on health, whatever the issue was. And he says to me during the break, he says to me, Gary, if you can't agree with me on a particular issue or a topic, then don't say anything. And I retorted and said back to him, by the way, using the word retort, I only had an 880 combined on my SATs. Mm. So I said back to him, I said, Dick, in all the years that I have been doing this, I have never, ever been told by a co-host, if you're not in agreement with me on a particular issue, boom, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't come out with it on the air. But it's, you know, I just want to go back to something else that you just said, Walter, when you were talking about the industry and the kinds of programs that are on the air right now. And when I, thank goodness that you were uncomfortable that day and you needed a lesson in how to use the thermostat that day. It's because that's really how we got together. And you have been a mentor to me and taught me how important it is to entertain on these programs. And so I do, you know, I do my Saturday morning at 10, and I'm going to plug my podcast right now for a second with the former WABC news director, now current Fox News radio anchor, Kathleen Maloney, who you know very well. And so we do a podcast, worldaccordingtous.com. But we take that approach, Walt. We take the approach that you have done with New Jersey 101.5, which, by the way, I had the privilege of working there for a couple of years, but not when you were there. And it's all about people wanting to be not only informed, but entertained. And I think that this type of program, Walter, and what you have tutored me on throughout all of these years, is the kind of show that can expand on the airwaves and get a bigger audience. Because how many days can you drone on about the Democrats, as you just said it, the Democrats did this, the Democrats did that? It's, you hear a show Monday, and then you listen back on Friday, and you're saying, is this live or a repeat performance? And so what you're doing, all the trade people that wrote into you and all those individuals who said you might help to change the landscape here, they were spot on, because this is the future of this kind of radio, and the future is being intrinsically entertaining, Walt, and conversing, allowing for conversation no matter what the issue on the air. And I'm grateful to you. Look, I'm just going to sum this up in 2 seconds here, because I've been doing this 20 some odd years, WABC in New York and, you know, all these other major radio stations, and here at PHT for a long time now. And I still go to you and I say to you, if I'm not sure about something, and he'll tell me, he'll call me up after the Saturday morning show, Gary, you shouldn't have started with that. I mean, he'll come with me right at it, right there. But, you know, I do respect the guy, and then I'll think about it a little bit. And this is really, first of all, I am honored to be here with J.B. Bakery tonight. Wow, their stuff looks sensational.
I know.
It really looks great. And I'm honored that I'm on the inaugural show here tonight. And those are my accolades for you. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of this and thrilled to have your friendship.
Well, Giordano refused to do the show.
He wouldn't do it.
He refused to do the show. Now, listen.
Yeah.
If I've been your mentor.
Yeah, uh-oh.
You have 1 hour a week.
That's it. What the hell's wrong with that?
Is that my future? 1 hour a week based on my principles of broadcasting?
I figure you're good for about 6 months.
You figure?
And then you're going to do it, you know, then you're going to go to 3 hours. No, not three, 2 hours.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, like maybe 8 to 10 or something like that. And then they're going to say to you, you know, Arnell is doing this 1 hour on Saturday, and it's working out pretty well, according to Stocker. And then they may say to you, Walter, we have a 45-minute slot open. We got a 45-minute slot. We absolutely encourage you to grab the 45-minute slot because you can rebuild. So this is what I'm prognosticating on where this is. Now, you know, Stocker's listening. Stocker's going, So take the 45-minute show if nothing else happens.
Right. If he's listening, that means tomorrow morning's show is going to be terrible.
He's on it with Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and Dawn.
He is the show, and he encourages Kyle.
Gotcha. No, absolutely. So.
And thank God for the Dawn Library.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, the Dick Morris thing, did this leave you traumatized after you were done with Dick Morris? Because there was no afterburn. There was no after show about what happened with you and Dick Morris.
I'm going to take you behind the scenes for a second because Andy Bloom said to me, and he's a guy who's, you know, pretty legendary in the business, brought Stern to Philadelphia and so forth. And he said, you're groaning when I mention Andy Bloom. I understand that.
The reason I'm on this station is Andy Bloom put me on the station.
Right.
He was very nice to me, but he only let me have 2 hours.
So Bloom said to me, if you go on with Dick Morris, I will guarantee you that if the show goes down, he didn't say this in front of Dick. He said this to me, you will go back on the air from 6 to 9 p.m. on this very prestigious radio station. And so when it went, he came into the studio one day and he said to me, that's it. Can't take it anymore. That's what happened. And Greg and I were both, because Greg was the senior executive producer of that program at that time. And we were in the studio and he said, can't take it anymore. And I told Andy, and I love Dick as a person, but I told Andy, it usually takes me about 35 minutes to decompress after every show, just because of the way he approached it. Strategically and followed the money. And look, we got to be honest, and that's really what the show was really about to an extent. And it was, I said I could do a book on that show. Oh, I could tell you how I did the show from his bedroom in New York City a couple of times overlooking Central Park, where he would tell me, I'm going to be taking a nap. Come in, the doorman knows you're coming in. And then he said, we're going to do the show from the bedroom today. Now, the rest of that story will be in the book. Yes, from the bedroom. That's all I'm going to say on that. So.
Now, you've been a very successful talk show host 6 or 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you have some advice for me beyond the thermostat so that this show is as successful as you've been.
My advice for you is to just continue to entertain. That's keep it cool in the studio. Keep it cool in the studio, entertain, and then call me 2 or 3 times a week. I look at my phone. It could be like 3:30 in the morning, and it'll say Sterling. And I'll go, yeah. And then I'll go, and I better call him back because I know he wants to hear back from me. And, constantly being in touch with him all week. It's great. Really is. So. I don't have any advice. The only advice I have for you is keep on doing it, baby. That's it.
Do you like the Mr. Softy ad?
I love the Mr. Softy ad, and thank goodness they don't have that app, rather, or they didn't have it when I was a kid, because my BMI right now is suffering enough that if I found out where the Mr. Softy truck was in my neighborhood, that would have been trouble. That would have been trouble. And you mentioned earlier, Walter, about being a type 2.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in that company as well, so I stay away from the app. Yeah. Mr. Softy app.
All right.
Yep.
Well, that was some pretty rigorous broadcasting, Barry. I don't see how
Khalil, peer review.
I don't see how Khalil and company or Mark and Charlie.
Now nobody comes close to this. Dom or Zioli or
Geronimo or whatever,
whoever it is, Capitico.
All over those 90s shows.
Yeah, no, they don't.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, we have so much to talk about at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. How did Mother's Day go? Did you blow it again? This is your chance to dump your guilt, share it, get it out. Sharing is the first step toward recovery. 855-839-1210. Sterling every night.
Gold, a real popular strip club located in North Miami Beach. Some revelers got out of control, including one student from Florida International University that has led to an international incident. 26-year-old Matteo Falsinelli was arrested. Apparently, he was resisting arrest. I'm just going to tell you something, as someone who may or may not have been arrested any time in my past, the most important thing is to be very cooperative with the police officer. Sometimes that's really tough to do when you're loaded up on testosterone and cosmopolitans, but here we are. Matteo arrested and apparently really not cooperative at all. So the North Miami Beach Police Department did what they should do. They made sure he was safe, so they hogtied him. Footage has been released, and the good people of Italy are horrified, horrified at the treatment of Matteo. Don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time, and do not resist arrest. Matteo, he is in trouble, and perhaps he never should have left Italy in the first place. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Sterling at the Night.
I wanted to answer this question because I keep seeing it, but I am going to get more into detail with like my coming out story, and that kind of involves it on the porch with Soph, but I'll kind of answer this question a little bit. But my guilty pleasure is mukbangs, so I'm eating sushi in the car and I can kind of a little mukbang. I don't even get fish. I get a sweet potato with avocado and cream cheese, and then I dip it in yum yum. My God, it is literally the best thing ever. We have been craving this. Soph is so mad at me because she's babysitting, and I had the day off, and I sent her a picture, and she was like, you didn't wait? They honestly all handled it way better than I ever would expected it to go.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Understood. He's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I see.
This city is being overrun by baboons.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza.
The second version of Charles in Charge was from a later season. And what they did is they added a baseline. They stepped up the production. They added a lot of compression to the soundtrack and made it much more rock and roll. Did you hear that? I know. You want to hear it again. Yeah, let's hear it again.
Understood. He's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I see I want Charles in charge of me.
Charles in charge of our
a brand new show on 1210 WPHT every damn night. Sterling every damn night from 9 p.m. to midnight. A live and local in Philadelphia from Market Street radio show. How about that? Because this is the best city to be up late. This is the best city. We have more second and third shift workers than pretty much anywhere. The hospitals, universities, the diners. What the hell has happened to the diners downtown? Where are the diners that used to be downtown? But at least we have diners. You realize that 50 miles west of here, there are no diners. Diners are a uniquely New Jersey, Philadelphia thing. West of here, they are rare. Or worse, there's something you don't even know about. I'm a little afraid to mention this. Do you realize that in much of the country, a diner has a completely different definition than it does here? Here, a diner means 24/7. That's what a diner is. In many parts of the country, a diner is 5 a.m. to, ready, 2 p.m. They close at 2 p.m. They're breakfast diners. When I have run into such a horror, I have said to the owners of those diners, I said, this is not a diner. This is a hobby. This is a hobby. It's cute. You open it, you serve an egg, and then you go home. It's not a diner. We have diners. Greece is only real if it exists at 3 a.m. Only if Greece is moved around at 3 a.m. can you call yourself a diner. Therefore, it is great to be on the radio with you at this time. This is the time of day to be on the radio. My whole life, I have fantasized about doing one thing, which is a late-night radio show. This is what I do. If they said, well, you know, you could be on for Khalil and Company, I'm like, no, I don't want to be on for Khalil and Company. I don't want to pretend to be happy at 7 in the morning. I will never be happy at 7 in the morning, and neither will you. This is the time of day to be on the radio. But it's a tough time of day to work because HR, you know, HR doesn't understand late night. It doesn't understand the third shift. Has an HR person ever visited you on the third shift, on the late shift? I doubt it. HR, think about it. HR really only exists with the normal people. The normal people who believe that it's good to get up early. Is there anything more arrogant than a person who gets up early? People who get up early believe that you and I should get up early. You know, you should try getting up at 5 a.m. Like, what? Try the 5 a.m. solution. No, I'm not trying the 5 a.m. solution. You should get up at 5 a.m. People in sales believe that the earlier you get into work, the better you are at your job. You're not better at your job if you get in early. You just are somebody who gets up early. Maybe you're better at setting an alarm than I am. But people who are vegetarians believe that I should be a vegetarian. People who eat filet mignon never say, you should eat more steak. They've never said that. People who stay up late, like us, we don't go around saying, you really should try to stay up later. Try the staying up late solution. And there's a special hell of coming to work starting at 11:30 midnight at Jefferson Memorial. It's a special hell because the cafeteria is closed. There's a peculiar belief that people who work all night don't need a cafeteria, whereas, in fact, we need the cafeteria more than the day people because we can't walk outside and get food. We can't walk across the street and get food. That place is closed, or it's way too dangerous, or we're afraid of getting locked out. There's a great fear of working late at night, that I forgot my pass and I'm going to get locked out and no one will come down to get me and no one answers their cell phone. It's a particular challenge to work late at night, but there's a particular reward. And the reward is the boss isn't here. HR isn't here. Nothing has done more to destroy American industry than HR. HR are the bullies of adults. You think when you get out of high school, bullying is done. You think when you get out of school, you're done with bullying. No, no, it just takes different forms. It has different names. As an adult, bullying is called human resources. And now you will go to human resources. Bullying is called customer service. Now you'll be on hold for your caller number 28. What? Your caller number 28. You will be in line through 28 other calls, and then we'll get to you, and then we will tell you we can't help you. Well, that's bullying. Bullying continues into adulthood. There's no greater horror. Do not make the mistake. Listen to me carefully if you want a career. Never go to HR. No matter what, do not go to HR. They are not paid to stay things confidential. Their door is not always open to you. They are not there to help you. Their job is the same as yours, to make their boss happy. Their boss is your boss. Get it? They are not there to make you happy. If you have a real issue with your employer, you don't go to HR. If you have a real issue, you get an employment lawyer and sit down and talk to them and ask them for advice.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Larry David.
None of your business. How about that?
Styling on Sunday, Kindle in Vegas, the Fetish Queen.
Sterling Every Night with Kendall Aviva. Aviva Vegas. Kendall, you got to come up with one name. You're going to have to work on one name, and I'll stick to that. Here's the delightful Kendall, a refugee from Sterling on Sunday. And I have been asked, are you going to keep doing the Sunday show now that you're doing Monday through Friday? Yes, because I'm an idiot. Kendall, you have some interesting stats and figures and figure on fetishes. Would you share that, some of those things that you've learned about fetishes? Because what Kendall has been known to do in the past is serve men and possibly women who are obsessed with feet. Well, what else have you learned about fetishes?
Hey, Walter, congratulations. Hey.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, some things that I've learned. One thing that I've learned is that foot fetish, out of all of the fetishes out there, you guys, foot fetish is the number one fetish of all. Another really popular fetish here, you guys, is cuckolding.
What,
you know what,
what
that is,
what,
Walter?
What? What?
Cuckolding.
Wow. What's that? Do I want to know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think, you know, I want to educate you guys. So cuckolding is when a male will encourage his wife or partner to be intimate with another partner, usually a man.
Oh, cuckolding, as in medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very popular.
So it's very popular for a husband or wife to encourage their significant other to be with another partner.
Yes.
Do they watch?
Yeah.
Got it.
There's a lot of watching is involved, voyeurism. And the man, the husband, the partner, is usually, they're really aroused. by the idea of somebody else who is bigger and stronger and more attractive being able to satisfy their wife in ways that they can't.
I would view that as hell. It's therefore very but it's very interesting to me that there are people who get satisfaction from seeing their partner satisfied better by a third party. I find that amazing. What do you think that's about?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think there's a lot of psychological aspects to it. The fact that it is one of the top fetishes, I think that it really does surprise a lot of people because you would think that most people would feel a little bit ashamed, like they couldn't satisfy their wife. Now somebody else has to. But a lot of people like that. And I checked it out, Walt. Some of the states that love cuckolding the most are Delaware, South Carolina, Connecticut, Indiana, Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, Utah, and Arizona.
These are flyover states. These are states where nothing else is going on, where they have expansion league baseball. What is the commonality of these states?
I need to do some more research on that one. But another really, really popular fetish in a majority of the states is feminization. And this fetish is all about, it's a kink. It's a practice in dominance and submission. And this involves reversing gender roles, and it usually takes place where a man will take on the feminine role, usually for humiliation, and this is based on sexual pleasure. So some of the top states, Walter, that feminization is a top fetish: Pennsylvania, number one, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Florida, Alabama, and Louisiana. Also, California really, really loves feminization also.
This is where a man, would they just act in a traditional feminine way, or would they dress in dresses, or would they wear an apron? What do they do?
Yeah, they really love that. They like to be told to put on maybe some women's panties and pantyhose. They like to have long hair. And they really like to embrace the more feminine side.
Wow. Will you be sharing this type of information with us every single night at about this time? Aviva in Vegas, will you do that?
Of course.
Because I smell ratings. When I hear this sort of facts, this sort of news, I smell ratings. Aviva in Vegas, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Every Night. We will talk to you tomorrow evening at 11:20. How does that sound?
I love it. I'll talk to you guys then. I can't wait.
Okay, thanks very much. Aviva in Vegas, a star of Sterling on Sunday, now a star of Sterling Every Night. And why is she going to present this information to us? Well, because it will generate ratings. Nothing will get more ratings than Aviva. Guaranteed. I'm the guy who hired Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Remember her, the sex expert? I'm the guy who put her on the radio for the first time back when I wore a suit. And the station that I put her on was owned by RCA, a very serious company, the company that founded NBC. And I'll tell you how I had to deal with the board of directors of RCA with Dr. Ruth. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is Sterling Every Night.
Sterling Every Night. Lesbians in space.
I am so sorry. This is awkward. My dad doesn't know that I'm gay. And I'm sure you think that is super closeted of me. And I get it, okay? My ex-girlfriend, Alicia, really hated it when it came to that because I could never talk.
Okay, chill. It's fine. There's no timeline on coming out. Also, we just started dating, so it's cool. I got you.
Okay, thanks.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling Every Night.
tiny books, rusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions. At long last, they reached the top of the slope, the ocean far behind them, like a distant memory. Reggie crossed the grassy plateau to where he'd parked the truck beneath a tree, a taller specimen of the one back down near the shells and sand. He pushed aside the hanging branches, opened the gate of the truck, and sat her down on the bed. Ro trailed her fingers down his broad chest. I'm glad we're both in better spirits, but it doesn't mean all our problems will go away by tomorrow. I know. He stepped in between her knees and caressed her cheek. But overall, I've felt better since I started waking up near you. Her inner thighs throbbed with his closeness. She tilted her face up to receive his kiss, yet it was short-lived. We have to get the blankets out, Reggie said, nudging her to the side. It'll take 2 minutes, not even. Don't run away. Ro hopped out of the truck. Already, she felt colder outside of his embrace. She opened the passenger door and propped her foot up on the seat to undo her shoelaces. One boot and sock fell to the floor of the cab, followed by the other. She was tempted to shed all her clothing and dive back into Reggie's arms. Patience won out. Before she returned to the rear of the truck, she removed one more article. Unfastening the clasp of her chain, he held the necklace in front of her. Even in the wan light, the pearl pendant seemed to glow with an ethereal radiance. She smiled and tucked it away into a safe pocket inside her knapsack. Every available blanket was spread out in the truck's bed. Sorry about the accommodations, Reggie said, smoothing down one corner. But I think it's late enough we lost our room in town. I don't care. Something had reawakened in her, some primal longing, and she needed to touch him again. She slithered between him and the metal edge, pulling him closer by the waistband of his pants. We wouldn't have made it there anyway. Cupping her hand behind his neck, Ro maneuvered his mouth toward hers for another kiss. He lifted her up, his large hands dipping beneath her flimsy shirt to grip her waist. They left her sides to resume their earlier exploration, skimming over her skin with faint pressure. When his palm grazed her chest, a breath hitched in her throat. He chuckled and gave her lower lip a nibble before releasing her. Yanking the hem of her top, he pulled the garment off over her head and tossed it behind her. Her bra followed a few seconds later, leaving her exposed to him in the cool night air. She grabbed a handful of the material stretching over his chest and grinned. "Your turn," she said. With the same roguish smile, Reggie shed his t-shirt. Slivers of moonlight trickled through the narrow leaves of the tree, illuminating every distinct line and hardened plane of his upper body. Tattooed band encircled one bicep, and similarly colored ink in a design she couldn't decipher peeked out over the opposite shoulder. As much as she loved fantasizing about the strength of his arms and his ability to overpower her, her eye was drawn to the thin channels crisscrossing his abdomen and the defined V of his hips disappearing into his pants. She couldn't wait to mold herself around his delectable form. Ro scooted backward, reclining against the blankets as he climbed next to her. He propped himself up with a hand on either side of her slender frame, but she hooked one leg around his waist to bring his full weight down on her body. Skin met skin, and she flattened herself against his chest as she inhaled sharply. If I'd known you were going to feel this good, she murmured against his lips, maybe we should have done this a lot sooner. His mouth slid over to her ear. You were worth the wait. I think I should stop there, but you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon.
Sterling every single night. Good evening. I have a website. It's called waltersterlingshow.com. You can learn everything about all of our spectacular contributors. waltersterlingshow.com. And I have a spectacular Facebook page. You ready? You'll never believe what it's called. It's called Walter Sterling. And I want you to be my friend on Facebook. I post stuff there all the time. It's a way for us to stay in touch. And I answer every email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. It's 43 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling every night. Inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bitch.
No, based.
Bait.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I've got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am based.
All right, let's work on making those shorter. A, what the heck? 855-839-1210. Yes. We went over the very important Mr. Softy app. I love that app. And now we're talking about resentment, because one of the reasons you and I stay up late and have trouble going to sleep is we have resentments. There are people we have a hard time letting go of and forgiving. When I got this job, 5 nights a week, 6 nights on Sunday, I got notes. Presidents of companies, presidents of countries, famous movie makers, celebrities, but it's not important who congratulates you. It's not important who says, hey, you did a great job, or that's interesting, or we're rooting for you. That's not important. To have a resentment, you need to keep track of who did not send you that. Mike Jarrick did not send me a note. Dom Giordano, no note from Dom Giordano. I got a note from Rich Zeoli and Matt DeSantis, the man who cannot get him A-list guests. But who did I not get a note from? I got a note of congratulations. And again, I'm not talking about that. That's either nice or superficial. I appreciate them. But, you know, a lot of people will want a job from me one day. That's usually what this is about. But who didn't send me a note? Now, I got notes from every competing company. I don't think I got one note from the company that owns this radio station, 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. There's a talk radio format captain. Let's think about that. Hey, Captain. Hey, how about Captain? You mean like Captain Chucky? No, not Captain Chucky. This is somebody who's in charge of talk radio for this company, talk radio. I didn't get a note from him. Didn't hear one peep from him. And then in the press release, it mentions the head of programming for the company, but I didn't get a note from him. This is the foundation of resentments. This is what we work in. It motivates us. It motivates us. It's like the relatives who didn't give you anything on Christmas or Hanukkah. This is the driving force of everybody who lives in Philadelphia. It's why I like watching Mike Jarrick on Fox 29. I like watching Mike Jarrick because everything annoys him. They do a special remote from a nail salon in South Jersey, and he's annoyed. They have on a street fair in South Philly. He's annoyed. He's always annoyed, and he makes it work for him. But now, it's Monday after Mother's Day.
And on Mother's Day is the annual test. Will you finally get it right? Will you finally get mom what she wants? Will your kids finally get your wife what you want? Or will you finally get what you want? Well, the reason you don't get what you want, mom, is because of what you say when you're asked, what do you want for Mother's Day? When you're asked what you want for Mother's Day, what do you say? I know what you say. You say, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. And that's what you get. And then you have a resentment. Or you say, well, you could draw me a picture. You could say to the 9-year-old, you could draw me a picture. Or you say to the 9-year-old, it'd be nice if you wrote me a poem or a card. And then they do. And then you're like, where's the Tiffany? Where's the Bloomingdale's? Why didn't I get any of this? There's no greater hell than trying to get mom a Mother's Day gift. That's really tough. The other tough ones coming up on May and June is the wedding gift. And men fail at weddings every day. And it's because men don't understand one key thing about weddings. A guy thinks about his wedding the day before the wedding. He finally has to focus in and actually show up with a hangover for that wedding. His bride has been thinking about that wedding since she was 8. She has been planning the wedding since she was 8. And the biggest mistake a man can make, and I made it, because the mistake will have a tenure the rest of their lives, is if the groom tries to change anything that the bride has planned. Whatever the bride has, this is the best wedding advice I can give you. Whatever the bride has planned, that's what you're going to do. Do that. And she may fool you and ask for your opinion. She may say, do you like the red napkins or the white napkins? The correct answer is ask her mother. And then come back and tell her what she wants. Oh, you, the red one, I like the red ones better. Meanwhile, you know the secret answer because you asked her mother. That's the key to it. One of the things that most couples blow is their gift registry. It is very important on the wedding gift registry. Tell me if I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's very important on the gift registry, whatever the store is that you go to look through what they have and put on the registry the most expensive thing in that store. Even if it's outrageous, if it's outlandish, if you don't need it. You don't need any of it. It's all garbage. You don't need any of it. But if there's the most expensive item in the store, put it in the registry. I guarantee you that will be purchased first. Because there's one person going to your wedding that wants to buy the most expensive thing. Let them. Do not put in the salt and pepper shakers. Do not put in a few things that are cute for my friends from school that they can afford. No, no. Mm-mm. It is not your job to determine what your friends can afford. It's your job to fill your house with quality items as a result of your wedding. Do not make the mistake of trying to help out your poor loser friends. They can get their own salt and pepper shaker. They can get their own pot holder. You get there and you make sure the cheapest item on that list is the KitchenAid blender, the $500 KitchenAid blender, which you don't need and is an obscene luxury. You need a little Black & Decker handheld mixer. That's all you need. Buy it yourself. Buy it yourself. You don't need to get the KitchenAid mixer for $4,000, $500. I hope this has been an adventure. I get to be with you every night, which is my new vision of hell, a very special vision of hell. We get to share the most ridiculous things I hope. But I think it's important to remember, and when I put together these shows, what I try to remember is that no matter what happens in the White House today, it is not as significant as water in the basement or the check engine light. And the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And I love the sweet water stirring show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Stanley Show. I love it.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Stern Show.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.